The subject we're going to talk about is how God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. And I don't know if you're ordinary or not, but I certainly am. I stem from a town of Redfield, South Dakota. That's where I kind of went to grade school. Everybody know where Redfield, South Dakota is? Oh, there's a few people that lived out there. I know every one of you. Redfield's a town that's been stuck for about 100 years, just stuck. A farming community. It's great people, wonderful people. But I also lived in Brookings, South Dakota, and it's just, yeah, we're just ordinary people. I'm an ordinary person. God put his call upon my life when I was a young person, and when I was in my teenage years, I felt an undeniable call to follow Christ and to be a minister of the gospel. I've never turned away from that. Now, with my attention deficit thing going on, it took me a while to get where I was supposed to be. But God never let go of me. That's the thing. He shoved me into all these places and just kept me going. And here I am. And I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. So I'm going to talk about Gideon. We're in the book of Judges, the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. I borrowed my wife's. I'm told, is a rose color. So Lima's got this color on. Am I close? Yeah, I'm no good at colors at all. I called it pink for years. And then I noticed that my wife has a Bible back. This is my wife's Bible, and the one she brought this morning matches my outfit. See, I got my Jesus shoes on, and I got a rope here, my Jethro pants, and it's comfortable. I hope you're comfortable. I'm comfortable. So Judges chapter 6, I'm just going to read. I think I forgot to warn Marie that I changed. I have this attention deficit thing, and I changed my mind this morning, and I forgot to tell Marie. I'm going to just do the first six verses here, and then we'll get into the other stuff. We're going to do all that too. All right, the Israelites, Judges chapter 6, verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites because the power of Midian was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land. They ruined the crops all the way to Gaza. We know where that is. And did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. I've never actually seen a swarm of locusts. Have you seen a swarm of locusts? I thought they hit in California. I've seen swarms of grasshoppers, which are first cousins to locusts. And it was impossible to count them on their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Okay, here's the story. All of a sudden, the people of Israel, they had turned away from God. They had started, well, they included Jehovah, or Yahweh, but they also brought in Baal and the Asherah pole, and I don't know if you know much about that sort of stuff, but it's pretty evil. It's as bad as you can get. And they thought that that was going to give them good crops. They thought that was it just wasn't working very well. And so they'd turn away from God, and so all of a sudden they cry out, and God sends a prophet, and the prophet tells them what they did wrong, and I would hope they probably knew what they were doing wrong, but I don't know. They just completely went away from God, and as God does, and we're doing Judges in Sunday school. I didn't realize we were going into that, but we didn't get this far. And time after time, God would punish them, and we identified the fact leadership was a problem. I mean, they just kind of go away from that, but it also seemed like it was about every 40 years. They get themselves into trouble, and then they'd have 40 good years, and then they'd get themselves back into trouble, and that's just a pattern in the book of Judges. So we're just going to look for a minute. I don't want to do a whole lot on this Bible study, but we want to look at what God does in and through people who he calls and people who he leads into greatness. We look at other people that live courageously. I ask for the Samaritan ministry thing on for a reason. We'll get to it in the end. But we look at other people who live courageously, and they do courageous things, and they're leaders. And I hope and I think and I believe in our hearts, we want to be like that. As human beings, we want to accomplish something. There's just something deep within us that says, you know, I need to do more. I need to do something significant. And I want my life to be significant. And all of the great leaders of the Bible were human, just like us. The difference maybe between us and them sometimes is they had an undeniable call. And that undeniable call was given to an unlikely person in untenable circumstances. And Gideon was one of those people that was called up. He was sitting under he was in this story. I probably won't read all the verses, but in this story, Gideon was, he'd managed to gather a little bit of wheat, and he'd taken it to a wine press, and he was hiding, and he was beating out the wheat, trying to have a little bit of food for his family, and, you know, lived in fear of the Midianites. I've never had to do that. Well, there are people in the world that have to do that now, and they're suffering, you know, and he was just trying to exist, and so he wasn't on a threshing floor. They didn't dare go to their threshing floors. They had these areas that were rock, and they were all cleared off, and they'd bring all their crops in. They were human combines back then. I did a lot of combining when I was growing up. I'm thankful I didn't have to do it this way, even though it was really hot and dusty and dirty. but these are the methods that they had to use in order to in order to survive. They grew a little grain here and a little grain there and something else, tried to keep it hidden from Midianites. There's lots of caves in Israel. Lots of them. And they were hiding in caves. And I mean, throughout the Bible, you see scriptures where people were hidden in caves and they used the caves. And yeah, and so they were hiding in caves and wherever they could. And because of this oppression of the Midianites, as we read to you, Gideon was hiding and he was doing this work. And guess who shows up? His people had called out. God sent a prophet, and then somebody shows up. In the sixth chapter, if you got the sixth, you have the sixth chapter. In the 12th verse, I'll start with the 12th verse. The angel of the Lord showed up. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian." And the Lord returned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" I love this in the NIV. "Pardon me." "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you and will strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back." And so I'm not going to read all that, but Gideon goes back and he gets a goat and whatever, and he makes an offering. And the angel of the Lord took his staff he had in his hand and he touched the offering and it flamed up. That's impressive. And so, you know, and then Gideon's like, as all of God's people were at that time, if they actually saw God, they died. And Gideon's like, "Am I going to die?" And no, you're not going to die. You're not going to die because I'm with you and I've got a purpose for you and I've got something that I'm going to have you do. And so during all this, one of the things I noticed in here, and kind of in spades, is when Gideon was complaining about to God about what the Midianites were doing, there was never one time that he admitted what they had done wrong. He didn't acknowledge, you know, well, yeah, we went away from you, we served Baal, we did all these evil things. He never acknowledged his wrongdoing. He just complained to God, but God is greater than we are. And he said, no, you're not going to bail. I have a purpose for you. I have a reason for you. I have something for you to do. And I just read that scripture to you. He was the least of the least of the least. Pretty much where I came from. Pretty much where I got stuck a lot of times in life. I figured out in my life, and I've got a fellow pastor back here, Doug Goodell, and he knows this. You only advance if you do. The only way you can advance in ministry is if you do it where you're at, because you're never going to get acknowledged in a large denomination. And ours wasn't that large, but you just don't get acknowledged and all that sort of thing. So the second thing in this outline that's in your bulletins this morning is obedience. God couldn't do anything about the Midianites until his people cleaned up their own acts of apostasy. And Gideon was called upon to do another sacrifice. And he was told that he was to take a bull and cut down the Asherah pole, pull down the altar of Baal, the stone altar of Baal, and then sacrifice same bull on that offering and to God. And it was a sign to all of Israel what God was doing. And so Gideon was obedient. Now, here's something that I pondered. He took 10 of his servants, and I'm like, if he was the least of the least of the least, I wouldn't mind being his family. I'd never had a servant. But anyway, he had 10 servants. It was a different day and time. He did what God called him to do, and immediately the people of the town came out with pitchforks and torches. Well, maybe not, but anyway, they started asking, who did this? Why'd they do it? And then they figured out that he was the son of Josiah. Did I say that right? Joash. Joash, Gideon's dad, was a hero also, and they discovered that Gideon had done it, so they demanded his life. And Gideon's dad was a hero also. He was like, can't Baal contend for himself? You know, God made fun of the people of Israel when they made little idols to themselves. And his dad knew about that. And he says, can't Baal? And so they named him Jerubbaal because Baal was going to contend with him. Well, he's perfectly safe. But you know, we have a tendency to have our own idols. I mean, we really do. I gave Maria pictures of my friend's idol that he just is getting rid of. It's a Mustang. She'll pop that up here. There you go. Look at that car. So my friend, I've got a lifelong friend. He's 4 years older than I am. But he kind of took me under his wing when I was a teenager, and I owe him so much, and we've been friends ever since. And so if I accuse him of that being his idol, he will just laugh because he knows me. He bought that car in 1970, and it is a 1970, and he's 4 years older than I am, and he just gave it to a nephew, and I texted him and said, I'm glad you're getting rid of your idols. But the point is, we kind of have a tendency to depend on things that aren't God, when the only thing we can really depend upon is God. Amen. You know, we can, I've got money invested. I mean, some of you got money invested, you know. And actually, my retirement depends on money that I put away over 50 years. It's the only way you get retirement. And Social Security and Medicare. Yeah, I'm on the dole. You got to admit it. But we get to be depending on that. And I have I have this bad habit, and Pastor Jim has told us to quit doing that. And I'm still doing it sometimes. Watching Stuart Varney business on Fox News, his business show, and he goes over the stock market and everything, and everything going up and down, and he can scare you half to death sometimes, you know. Well, we're going into a recession. Are you going to lose your money, your shirt on this, or, you know, whatever else, you know, and what do you buy? And fortunately, one of the things that helped me to have a retirement was I just put those funds into a mutual fund, and I don't depend on it. But we can depend on our money, we can depend on where we live, we can, you know, all of that can be taken away in no time. You can lose everything in no time. The only thing you have that you can be sure of is God. Amen. Therefore, he should take first place. Yeah. He should be number one, because that's all you have to. I have lost everything more than once. In fact, my dear wife back here, sitting by my new son-in-law and daughter, Sheldon and Brenda Morris, visiting from Idaho. Doesn't seem like they're visiting because they haven't been gone very long. and Brenda's still very much with us. There's a lot of stuff in our house. We're hopeful. But Bonnie and I, when we got together, we were 4 years away from having lost everything, both of us. Absolutely everything. Having nothing. But we had God. And God brought us through all that. And he brought us back. And we're enjoying, my son tells me it's a really good retirement. And we are the benefactors of having served God and worshiping him first and foremost and always. And he has done these things in our lives. And we've been married, 1st of September, we have been married 24 years. And Bonnie's husband was killed, and she was married to him, almost made 25 years, not quite. So she's got 48 years of experience being a wife. She's great. As long as we live in this world, we're in danger of developing false gods. And we just can't go there. The next thing is Gideon received unlimited power. Well, this is fun, I think. It's kind of gross if you think about it too closely, but it's kind of fun too. Gideon was facing 135,000 other soldiers. He sent out a call to his country, and 32,000 people showed up to fight those 135,000. God says to him, "You got too many." He says, "Tell everybody that's afraid to go home." 22,000 went home. He had 10,000. God looks at him and says, "You got too many." He says, "Take them down to the brook. And the ones that lay down and drink right straight out of the brook, got to go home. The ones that kneel and drink out of their hands, those are the ones you keep." Well, 9,700 went home. 300 were left. And says, "There's your army." Ooh, that would frighten me a little bit. 135,000 people against 300 people. And like any human being, Gideon was a little nervous about the whole thing. And so he went and he offered some, number four thing is he offered some prayers for guidance. And the lesson here is God provides clear confirmation along the way. Gideon did something unusual. I've never tried it. Don't know if it would work, but he had a fleece, a skin of a lamb with the wool still on it. And he says, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to put this out. And if it's wet and the ground around it is dry, I'll know that you want me to do this. And in the morning, the fleece was wet, the ground was dry. He wrang a cup or two of water out of it. And he said, "Well, boy, I don't know. Human. I don't know. I just don't know. Let's try this again, God. This time," it's still amazing to me that God honored this. He says, "This time, I want the fleece to be dry and the ground around it wet." Well, next morning, God honored that. Fleece was dry, ground was wet. And Gideon had his answer. It's never wrong to ask God for confirmation of things you feel God's calling you to do. God is gracious and he loves you and he actually wants you to ask for those things. And the truth is there are fleeces all around us that will confirm what God's calling us to do. One of the really good ones is y'all, God's people. You know, we need to communicate with one another and say, I think God's calling me to do such and such. Would you pray about it? I promise you they'll come back with an answer. Yeah, they'll come back with an answer. God will answer those prayers for confirmation of what he wants us to do. The Holy Spirit of God in this day and time, since the death and resurrection of Jesus and the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God is available to all people. And if you ask him, he will lead you. I have to confess, there were times in my life years into my ministry, I was scared to death because I was starting something new that I thought could be a failure. And by the way, I had a lot of failures. I'm an idea guy, and sometimes I get a little ahead of God. Yeah. I'm just sure God wants us to do this. Oh, Pastor, you don't need a new convertible. But he provides special gifts to convince us. He uses the scripture. He uses the words of our trusted friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. He gives us directions from events around us, and he persuades us that what he is leading us to do is the right thing for us to do. The fifth thing I was brought into this was a very unlikely strategy, and I already talked about how God melted down the numbers to where Gideon had only 300 people left. So the thing that Gideon did, and I kind of missed a point there. When God talked to Gideon, he also clothed Gideon, one of the better translations of that scripture is he clothed himself with Gideon. But the Holy Spirit of God was powerful in Gideon's life. So this was all by inspiration, and it worked beautifully. But he got these 300 men. They had jars. It's hard for me to imagine that, but they had jars, and they had torches in them that were lit. It must have been, kerosene? fat, probably animal fat. Anyway, they were lit torches inside them. They each had a trumpet, and they each had a sword. And they went down, before this happened, Gideon was still a little unsure, and he went down and he heard a dream where this barley loaf rolled into the camp. And anyway, the other guy says, well, that's the sword of the Lord of Gideon. So the Midianites were aware of what God had called Gideon to do. They were aware of what was going on with Gideon. Pretty much all the time, they're spies. Whatever you're planning on doing, they're spies, you know. There's nothing to do. So they knew what was going on. So they were expecting something. They went to bed, they were sound asleep, 4 a.m. That's not in the Bible, I just figured that out. Gideon said, you know, do what I do. He says, and when I break the jar and lift the torch up, I'll blow the trumpet, and we shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they did that, and God sent fear into the Midianites. They woke up in the middle of the night, and all but, let's see, what was it? I think 32, they went down to 32,000. I got there. No, anyway, all but just a few of them killed each other. They woke up in fear. They were being attacked. They came out of their tents, killed each other. 120,000 died that night. I got it here. And then the rest of the story is they pursued him. They totally defeated the Midianites. And bottom line, as is in many places in Judges, after Gideon, during Gideon's time, after Gideon, they had 40 years of peace, and then they went and sinned again, and God had to punish them again. But the conclusion of this story is the mixed story of greatness and fatal failure, and it's a cautionary tale for all of us. First of all, they ask Gideon to be their ruler, and he says, I will not rule over you. But then he made this huge mistake. He says, it's hard for me to imagine this. He says, give me an earring off of, you've collected all the gold and everything off the bodies, give me one earring off of each body. 135,000 earrings, gold earrings. Bible says it weighed 1,700 shekels. Now, some of you are better at math than I am, so you can do this, but a shekel is 2.5, 2/5 of an ounce. My figures said it was about 43 pounds of gold. That's a pretty heavy weight. I lift 40-pound bags of sunflower seeds, that kind of thing, for my birds. Gideon made what he called an ephod, and he hung it up in the village. By the way, the value today in gold, I figured that out too, because I watched Stuart Varney, $102,000. The people of Israel began to worship that ephod. That was the fatal snare that took them back into sin and back into being punished by God. It was no longer Baal, but it was a Baal-like figure. And it just shows the tendency, it's a cautionary tale, the tendency that we have to relax and forget and not follow the way we should. Almost all the heroes of the faith were and are ordinary people who through God did extraordinary things. There's an organization, yeah, we got a minute. There's an organization that's started in, what I wrote it down, 1899, I think, or in the late 1800s, started by salesmen. It's called the Gideons. You've heard of the Gideons. Started by salesmen, and they have placed Bibles all around the world. I haven't recently been in contact with any Gideons, but most of my churches, we'd have a Gideon speaker, and most of my churches, there were Gideons in there. And one of the things that I saw, at first, I kind of resented it when I was young and starting out, and here's these guys that could be doing stuff in the church, and there are Gideons out there doing other stuff. What's the matter with you? But then God convicted me, and I saw that the Gideons, an organization like that, allowed ordinary people to do extraordinary things. It's a great organization. Ministers are not allowed to be a part of it. It's totally lay-driven. Very, very, very wise of them not to allow ministers in. We probably would mess it up. So, the other thing, I asked Greg to do the thing with Samaritan Ministries, and that's something we do big time here. But the Samaritan Ministries allows ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I cannot lose sight of the gifts, because every time we go to town, last week we went to town, I was having an MRI, Bonnie was having a heart monitor on it, and oh yes, we came back with sacks of things for the shoeboxes. Made the mistake of stopping at Walmart. Good place to buy that stuff. And there's other good places to buy it. Bonnie can tell you where all the bargains are. And it's something that's in her heart. It's something to do. But it allows people to do extraordinary things. And the thing is, what Greg was alluding to, you know, Greg and Deb are leaders in this thing, regional, whatever, they're doing all this stuff. They need more people. I'm not gonna say that Greg and Deb are ordinary, but ordinary people. Oh, they are ordinary. Okay. Confession. They say confession's good for the soul. Confession's good for the soul. I just want to read in closing. I want to read, you're probably aware of this, but this is in Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 26. I just love this scripture. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world." And then and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written that the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. The thing is, there's so much going on in this world today. It's never been this bad before. Which is true, it's been worse. It's been worse. I am a student of history. We need to keep our eyes focused upon Christ and realize that he wants to use us, and realize that he is all-powerful, and he is the one that can change circumstances. He is the one that can change things. He is the one and the only one who we can look to and trust completely. Can't trust in our politicians. We can't trust. I'm sorry. Well, there's one politician I trust. And Dan's a great guy. But we can trust in God. We can trust in God to do all these things. And there's one other scripture I want to leave you with. It's this is something I've always encouraged my congregations and myself to keep in our hearts. It's from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Wow. That'll change your life. If you get down in the dumps, just go to Philippians chapter 4, read verse 8. Because he will do that for you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the Bible lessons that we have, for the examples that you have given us from your holy word, and for your holy presence in our lives, for your presence in this church, for your presence in the people of this church, for the collective wisdom that you give us, for the collective challenges that you give us. We have so many opportunities, Lord, to serve you, and you need people just like us, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.